Moving, just keep moving.
Did you know that you can listen to 90.3 Near FM and watch programs from Near TV on the move? Download one of the free radio apps and listen on your smartphone. Check out our podcasts via iTunes and Android. And while you're on the move, watch Near TV programs on YouTube. 90.3 Near FM. Near TV. A move in the right direction.
Following on from a shocking image, a photograph which was recently published of a four-year-old child sitting on the footpath eating a hot meal from a soup kitchen, it's just outrageous. So following on from that, we are joined this morning by Tony Walsh, who is the CEO of Feed Our Homeless. And he's going to talk to us about the plight of the homeless families on our streets that he's seeing on a daily basis, and also the work that his organisation is trying to do to alleviate the suffering in some way. Hello, Tony. How are you this morning?
Good afternoon. How are you?
Not too bad. Not too bad at all. Now, I was just horrified when I saw this film or this little image of the little four-year-old eating the hot meal and sitting on a plastic crate. I'm sure everybody who saw it was totally outraged and shocked. But this is becoming more and more familiar now, isn't it, with families being put into homeless shelters or, you know, bed and breakfasts and things, and having no cooking facilities, and, you know, having probably to go to McDonald's every day, which isn't viable, costly as well. So this is where you're coming in. The likes of your volunteers are coming in and having to try and give them their one hot meal of the day. It's just shocking, isn't it? It's just a disgrace.
Yeah. Well, it is. To say that a young child is sitting on a crate in Dublin on the streets to have a hot meal is shameful and totally unacceptable. And, you know, there's hundreds of people queuing up at these soup kitchens, whether it's the city centre or whether it's Ballymun. And that one in question where the child was sitting on a crate, you know, the soup kitchen in Ballymun does tremendous work, and credit to the volunteers. But they deal with a lot of families there who were in emergency accommodation and would come down and get a hot meal from the volunteers. But it's not only that soup kitchen in Ballymun that is going on. It's going on in the city centre every night of the week, where you would see young children and families queuing up at soup kitchens just to get a hot meal. And the problem that we have is not enough social housing, you know. We have families in emergency accommodation for long periods of time, some up to 2 years and 3 years, with two or three children. And if you can just picture this in your head, where you have a mother, a father and three children in one room, you know, who are using the bed that they sleep in as a table to eat, and children having to travel from one side of the city to the next to get to school, you know, it has a devastating impact on family and children's mental health, to say the least. Emergency accommodation is what it is. It's emergency accommodation if you find yourself homeless. But to say that when families in an emergency accommodation for long periods of time is unacceptable. COVID, you know, has had a dramatic effect on a lot of homeless people in terms of no facilities being opened. And they've relied on soup kitchens, like the one in Ballymun, who have operated right throughout COVID, providing hot meals, toiletries, clothing, and a listening ear, I suppose, and supporting people who are struggling and experiencing homelessness. But the problem lies with the government. The housing policies simply don't work. You know, we've relied on the rental market for far too long to solve this crisis. And the rental market is actually pushing more and more people into homelessness. Now, to say that, in January, you know, we have seen a 40% decrease in the number of families who are in emergency accommodation. And that's fantastic, you know, that we are seeing families being housed. Currently, we have 966 families who are in emergency accommodation. 2,326 of those are children. The overall homeless figures is 8,200. You know, and 70% of them overall figures is in Dublin. You know, so the homeless crisis is not getting any better. It's getting worse year on year. And the reason we've seen, I suppose, a decrease in the figures throughout COVID was through the eviction ban. So when that eviction ban gets lifted, we are going to see a tsunami of homeless people coming into homelessness through either bank repossessions, not being able to pay rent, rent increases. We need to go back. The government need to give the power back to the councils, where the councils start building again, where we can reduce the numbers a lot quicker on the housing list. But going back to your question of a young child sitting on a crate, that is unacceptable in this day and age where we have any child sitting on a crate. We shouldn't have people turning up our soup kitchens, you know, looking for food and help and support. We should have cooking facilities rolled out in all the emergency accommodations for families to go and cook. But unfortunately, that is not happening. And families are, you know, going to the likes of McDonald's and takeaways, as you just said, you know, to get a hot meal. But yeah, it's unacceptable. It really is. The ones that we are seeing who are being left behind completely are single adults, because there is just simply not enough single units to meet the needs of those who are experiencing homelessness. And there's a real need at present, you know, for single units to be built to meet the needs of those who are experiencing homelessness, you know?
I know. And yet, in this, their solution for the single, as you say, the single adults and whatever, and their solution for the homelessness, the homeless crisis, is to bring these little hubs where you're in this tiny little box, and it just, to me, this co-living thing that they're bringing, and they give planning permission for that, or they give planning permission to private developers. They just seem to be completely... Well, I wouldn't say they're oblivious to it, because they know it's going on, but they're just, why are they just so up there away from it all that they don't want to help the people and build social housing? That, to me, is the way it's got, that they don't seem to want to build social housing. They'd rather, you know, a few affordable housing, and affordable housing is up around 300 and something or 400,000. There's very little social housing being built. And then this co-living thing, oh my goodness, that's a disaster waiting to happen. That's tenements just all over again. So what can we do, and how can we get them
just
to see?
Answer your question there in terms of co-living. Co-living is certainly not the way to go. You know, it's really not. And what we have done, the state have an obligation, you know, and a duty of care towards our citizens. You know, the power is in their hands to change housing policies. But we have put the power in the private developers' hands for far too long. You know, our public land, we should be building public and affordable housing on public land. You know, and the thing is, as you just said there, affordable housing. What does affordable housing mean? You know, affordable housing, 300,000 euro home is not affordable. You know, we need to bring it down that there's public and affordable housing being built to meet the needs of everybody. You know, in this day and age where we have, you know, sons and daughters 20 and 30 years of age still live in our home simply because they can't afford to get a deposit together. You know, it's out of their reach. So we need to build public and affordable housing on a bigger and faster scale than currently being built. And I definitely don't think, you know, handing her over to private developers is the way, because the rents are just rising and rising. We need to go back to giving the power to the councils and let the council start building again. But the crisis is not getting any better. And the fear is now, when we come out of the pandemic, when the country is starting to open up again, we are going to see a tsunami of families and children come into homelessness, unfortunately. And I don't say that lightly. And what you're going to see with the soup kitchens, you're going to see more people attending these soup kitchens looking for help and support. You know, more families in emergency accommodation, more rough sleepers out on the street. And what we have seen throughout the pandemic, our teams have operated, our outreach services operated day and night out on the streets, dealing with rough sleepers. And what we have seen throughout the pandemic is an increase of 18 to 25-year-olds entering into homelessness. So we've seen an increase in young people coming into homelessness, which again is unacceptable. You know, so there's a lot more can be done and should be done at a government level, you know, where the government start tackling homelessness head on. It's gone on for far too long now, and families and children and individuals are suffering. You know, when you come into homelessness, the feedback that we get through dealing with our service users who are rough sleeping, they're caught in the trap of homelessness, because when you come into homelessness, particularly as a single person or a couple, you know, you're kept in the web of homelessness for years. You go into hostels, and some hostels aren't safe, and people are choosing to come back out onto the street because they don't feel safe in hostels. So for me and the team, what we see is an increase of single people entering into homelessness, and they're kept into homelessness, but kept in homelessness for years. Simple reason is, and the simple fact is, that there is not enough social housing, particularly single units, to meet the needs of those who are experiencing homelessness. So I think it's time that the government, you know, start tackling homelessness head on. But we definitely need to look at going back to the councils to solve this crisis, because to say that, you know, young children and families in emergency accommodation for long periods of time is just simply not right in this day and age. That photo that was taken was hard hitting, you know, and it was highlighting just how bad this homeless crisis really is, and particularly during the pandemic, you know. So it's not acceptable in any shape or form. So we need to do more, you know, and credit to the volunteers who are out day and night throughout this pandemic and giving up their time on all these soup runs across Dublin to help our most vulnerable and those who are most in need of help and support.
It is. It's fantastic, the work that you do and other voluntary organisations. But the government needs to hang their head in shame. As the girl who took the photograph, the girl from your organisation, had said, she said, like, she'd no words, and she said they should hang their head in shame, which is true. I mean, to think that they can watch that. The homeless situation isn't one that we thought of old. People would have, there wasn't as many, and it was, people would have thought, oh, they've done something to get themselves, they're either on drugs or they're on alcohol or whatever. This is, as you say, this is a crisis right across the board. There's young people and families, you know, young families who have maybe lost their jobs, lost their rented accommodation, and were put in, as you say, temporary. Definitely is not temporary accommodation, and, you know, emergency accommodation, which is going on for years and years. They're just put in there and forgotten about. Nothing's happening to move them out of these places. I just think it's just a crying shame, you know, when you see on the news there recently, actually, remember the family that had come in and they were highlighting the situation in the hotels that they had to do quarantine after coming off the flights. And as soon as I saw it on the news, I was going, oh, for God's sake, it's only a couple of weeks that you have to do that. There's families in there for years in the very same situation, a small little room with a whole family, and you have one older child trying to study, you have a young child trying to play and trying to learn how to walk, and they haven't even the room in that bedroom. It's a complete crisis that it's going to take years to get out of if we don't do something now about it. It's not going to be just homeless crisis. It's going to be educational and development. Everything is being stifled.
Well, you're right there. This is not going to be a quick fix, and it's not going to be fixed overnight. But it's not only homelessness. Mental health is a huge part of this. Unfortunately, when you become homeless and you end up in emergency accommodation for whatever reason, particularly with children or single adults, you know, homelessness in itself brings mental health issues. And unfortunately, with the pandemic, as you know, a lot of vital supports for people have been closed. The likes of mental health services, you know, addiction services, even NA meetings for people who are in recovery. And we've seen people who are doing really well in their recovery, who were homeless and doing really well, and they fell back through the cracks because supports are gone. But this is not a quick fix by any means. It really isn't. Our team would provide food provisions for families living within emergency accommodation. And some of the families that we see and witness each week that have been in these hotels for 2-3 years or in B&B accommodation for 2 and 3 years, it's very sad to say the least, you know, to look at families with 2 and 3 children in one room, you know, and the mental health deteriorate, the children's education fall aside, children not being able to study or function properly, the family unit not being able to grow as a family because everybody is in one room, you know. But as I said, this is by no means a quick fix. But the thing is, we have to, the government are spending extortionate amounts of money, of taxpayers' money, on hotels for 2 and 3 years. As I go back to saying at the start of this conversation, emergency accommodation is what it says. Emergency accommodation, it's for emergency purposes. We shouldn't have families or individuals in emergency accommodation, whether it's a B&B, whether it's a hotel, or whether it's a hostel, for 2 years or 3 years. We should be only having them there for short periods of time. But relying on the rental market to solve the crisis is simply not working, and it's proven that it hasn't worked. Some landlords, I won't say all landlords, you know, are raising rents, and people can't afford it, so they're forced back into homelessness. The only way that we're going to solve the crisis is to build public and affordable housing and give people a safe place to stay, and a place that they can call home, a forever home, where they're not at risk of becoming homeless again. But the rental market is unstable, and people are at risk when, you know, you rent the property. There's no security there to say that you're going to be there for good. You could be out the following year or the year after. We must stop relying on the rental market. The only way forward is social housing, you know. And as I said, it's the councils that we need to look at to go back to building again. Unfortunately, the council have stopped building and have franchised out, I suppose, to developers, you know, to build properties and hand it over to developers to solve this crisis. And that is simply not working. And as I said, the ones that are suffering the most are the families, the children, and the individuals who are experiencing homelessness. But again, the power lies with government. They are the ones that have the power to solve this crisis. You know, we can scream from the rooftops day in and day out what we need, but unless the government take action and start banging their heads together and start working together and all being on the one page in terms of solving this crisis, we're going to go backwards instead of forwards.
Definitely, definitely. We need to look at other European countries and see the way they've been doing it. There's a lot of them have it really well run with regards to social housing, and people, they're in there, they're safe, they're there for life, and the, you know, the rents aren't increasing or going up out extortionate rents and all that. You know, we really need to look at the models that they're doing and the success that they have, you know, because this is just going. It just keeps going up and up and up, the figures as well, with the homeless figures.
They decreased with the pandemic, but they didn't decrease with the singles. They decreased with families. But the thing is, if you turn up to a soup kitchen any night of the week, if you go into the GPO tonight, you will see soup kitchens operating there. You'll just see young children, you'll see families, you'll see individuals, you'll see old people attending these soup kitchens for support. And it is shameful.
It is. It really is. Now, doing your work, I suppose you're always looking on the lookout for volunteers to help you out. How can people help you? And even in donations and things like that, or if people wanted to volunteer and help you?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that question, in fairness. COVID-19, as you know, has had a dramatic impact on us all, but particularly the charity sector. We're a volunteer-run organisation, and we operate 365 days a year. And in fairness, we have a fantastic and dedicated team here that carry out a number of services. Mm-hmm. But we couldn't do it without the generosity of businesses, the general public, and, of course, our volunteers who give up their time here day in and day out. So we're always looking for volunteers, and we're actually doing it. We're at the toiletry drive at the minute, because our stock of socks and underwear have run really low due to our outreach services being out day and night, and people who are rough sleeping looking for socks and underwear. So we're in the process now of doing a toiletry and socks and underwear drive. So if people would like to take up that, you know, if they can do it within the community, socks and underwear, new socks and underwear, and they can be dropped here to our head office and distribution centre here at Unit 7, Jamestown Business Park in Finglas. And if anybody would like to volunteer, you can just email our team at volunteering@feedourhomeless.ie. We're always looking for volunteers, whether it's outreach volunteers, whether it's distribution, helping out here in the distribution centre, preparing food hampers for families and the elderly. Each week our team provide hampers to families and elderly across Finglas, Ballymun, Kewlock, Darndale City Centre. So we're always on the lookout for volunteers. We're always looking to grow our team. And first and foremost, I'd like to say thanks to everybody who supports the Feed a Homeless charity, because without the generosity of the public and businesses across Dublin and across Ireland, in fairness, we wouldn't be able to do what we do, you know. So, anybody can. We're always looking for volunteers, as I said, so you can just email us.
They can just email you. What's the email address?
Sorry?
What's the email address that they can get
you? Email is volunteering@feedourhomeless.ie.
So volunteering@feedourhomeless.ie.
Got it. Yep.
Right. And it's Unit 7, Jamestown Business Park, if they want to leave off toiletries and that there.
Yeah, we're always taking in even non-perishable food. It goes out then to Recton, helping families and the elderly. We have a food drive going on in Super Value in Finglas. So it's a drop-off point for anybody to drop off non-perishable food like tea, coffee, sugar, that kind of stuff. And that allows our team to continue helping, I suppose, families who are most in need. And what we have seen and witnessed throughout the pandemic, a lot of people lost jobs where companies closed down, and food poverty is on the increase. You know, so we now more than ever, you know, we need more food coming in. But the thing is, it's sad to see people knocking on our door or ringing the charity here looking, you know, for help with food. That never, ever had, like, we had a lady here one day and she said she always helped charities and gave back, and she found herself in a very, very difficult situation where she lost her job, and it was either pay the rent to the landlord and not put food on the table, or put food on the table, not pay the landlord and end up homeless. And that's the reality of what is going on at the minute. It's not only the housing and homeless crisis, food poverty is huge within the community. So the pandemic has hit basically everybody hard, you know. But hopefully we can get back to some form of normality, with business getting ready to open back up and people getting back to work. Where the pandemic is something we won't forget.
No, definitely not. Please God, we do get back to some normality soon. And I wish you and your volunteers all the best of luck. You're really great with what you do. Thank you so much, Tony, for coming on and talking to me this morning.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye. Take care. God bless. Tony Walsh there from Feed Our Homeless. And please, if you've any toiletries, any food, anything you want, as he said, non-perishables, you can leave them there at Unit 7 Jamestown Business Park. You can get on to feedourhomeless.ie and you can go volunteering, email them volunteering@feedourhomeless.ie if you'd like to volunteer. And definitely really worthy cause, and great people to be doing what they're doing.
This is Near FM
90.3.